we get the show underway by hopping on board the telephone line and welcoming in our friend Gary Tangway. Hello, Gary.
Well, I can't wait to hear the Ryan interview because I've actually heard the story a number of times, and he's very excited about it, and it's a great read. And Bob just loves to go to games. He loves to be in different arenas, and he just loves the gym atmosphere, and it's only he could pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. And the story that began when he was a kid in New Jersey and finally wrapped up recently in South Dakota watching college basketball. And I was reading, I think, along the way, he has watched college basketball games in 38 states.
He has. Yeah, he's unbelievable. I mean, and he'll tell you, he's probably already told you once. And if he, you know, you can ask him again, is when the first time he saw Larry Bird play. Did he tell you that story?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And it was like back-to-back nights with Bird and Magic, right?
Yeah, and he was with Jason Stark and I think Michael Madden. And they were like, you know, in some rent-a-car in like the backwoods of Indiana, you know, going to see him play. So yeah, he's amazing. He really is amazing. And he's not slowing down at all.
No, and I will say this. I don't know anybody... And I will say, regardless of how long they've done it, but certainly to do it as long as he has and is still as passionate and as excited about sports as he was when he started.
He loves the game. He loves everything about it. He still knows everything about the NBA. He is, you know, Jerry, the owner of the Bulls, not the, the general manager of the Bulls, you know, called him the commissioner.
Mm.
And he's just great. He loves everything about it. And he's very curious. He's just curious about it all. So it'll be a great segment.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, what have you been up to lately, Gary?
Well, what have I been up to? Teaching, Rich.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a whole new appreciation for teachers.
Wow.
Teaching a class at Emerson and teaching a class at Anna Maria College, just outside of Worcester. It's interesting. It's interesting how the young minds think today.
Ain't that the truth?
Know,
yeah.
You know, in some instances, deadlines just don't mean what they used to.
Like, no.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to it. Oh, really? Okay. And the thing of it is they don't even have an excuse. Like, there's not even, like, my dog died. It's just like, you know, yeah, I just, you know, I didn't get to it. And I'm like, okay, wait, really? What? How come? And I'm an easy teacher. I'm teaching sports communication. I mean, it's not hard.
Are you Gary or are you Professor Tangway?
Oh, Gary, I can't. One person still calls me Professor Tangway, and I hate it. I think professor should be for someone who has at least a master's degree. You know, I can't do that, Professor Tangway. Plus, it makes me feel old. I totally feel completely unqualified, you know. But I've had some good guests. I've had Ted Johnson come in. Cedric Maxwell's come in the class. We've had Chris Gasper on. So we've had some good people that has been able to come in the class and talk to the kids. And when it comes to like sports communication today, I mean, you want to talk about the Wild West. I mean, I heard you're open. I can get your show on everything, including my toaster, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's a brave new world. And I don't know what you say to young people when they ask me, you know, what's the future of the business? I say, you're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea because it's changing so fast.
Well, it changes so fast, but the one thing that I think has remained constant is if you can create quality content, it just the channel varies. Now, the duration of the content will change. For example, when you go to social media, shorter clips, the attention spans have definitely been reduced. So whether you go on TikTok or whether you go on Instagram or, you know, Twitter or X, whatever it is now, it's got to be quick. You got to have to make your point, keep moving. And hopefully that will lead them to something bigger later on, maybe on your website or, you know, through a podcast or so forth. But I mean, podcasts are definitely ruling the world. You know, I mean, I did some work the other night on BZ Radio. I filled in for Dan Ray for a couple of nights and I was talking to the guys, you know, about the radio. They go, oh, it's all fine. You know, even the radio stuff, and I'm sure you see it in your numbers, people listen to you on demand. You know, like they may listen to you in the car. But they'll get as many numbers, and people say, "Oh, I want to listen to, you know, Rich when I go for a run."
Oh yeah, and we've experienced that. I think because of the nature of the show we do, we get a lot of people who, I listen to the show live, but will check out an interview. Go, Tanguay was on. I want to hear what he had to say.
Correct, and it's not also time dependent. You know, like it's not. You're not CNN when you're talking about the issue of the moment. You know, you have a little life to the topic. So there's no. So I tell kids, you know, more than ever, you have to have something to say. That's what you got to have something to say. You got to have something to say and something to offer. Where when you and I started, I could work for you and, you know, basically run a control board and learn the mechanics of the radio station. But now the radio station's your phone.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's where, you know, especially my Emerson kids, which they all want to be performers in some way, whether it be play-by-play or whether it be a talk show host or a podcaster. To me, talk show host, podcaster, it's all the same. And I said, well, you have to really work on your personality and offer somebody something unique. And the good thing about it, and what I tell kids is they can be optimistic, is there's no one like you. I mean, there's only one Rich. There's only one, you know, only one Hale. There's only one Gary. I mean, you know, like, unless you get into cloning, and that's a whole other topic. So if you're completely yourself with a compelling topic and something interesting to say, you have something to offer. That's all I can tell them. And you've got to work on it.
And I've always said this. Look, if you've got a great personality, it'll come through. You might stumble at times. You might get a little tongue-tied, but that likability, that personality will come through, and people will appreciate that. But if there's nothing there, if you don't have any thoughts or ideas, you can dress it up with anything you want, but ultimately people will go, yeah, I'm not all that interested in what they're selling.
No, you got to hook them, you know, and that's like, hopefully some people are interested in what we're talking about now. But it's what I'm telling my kids in college, you know.
I love it. Gary Tanguay with us here on Downtown. Hey, let's hit a couple sports topics quickly. This Celtics team, I don't know. It's tough to find anything not to like about them. This sure feels like a championship team.
Well, what really convinced me, and it is a championship team, Rich. There's no doubt about it. I'm still concerned, but not as much. The Philadelphia game was very poignant to me. It wasn't a pretty game. Embiid didn't play. You know, Nick Nurse did his best to mess everything up, you know, by playing, you know, various rotations and so forth. And Celtics played down to that level a little bit. But they were able to score. They were able to get to the basket. They were able to score some layups and get some twos and not to be dependent on the three. Now, they got to the foul line. Now, can they do that against, you know, a Milwaukee, or will they be able to do that against the Denver? It remains to be seen, but at least we've seen them do it because they're so three-point dominant. Now, the good thing about the playoffs is generally teams don't go dry from the three-point line for three or four games, but it can get you in a hole against a really good team. Like, I think the Celtics will be able to get through the East, but say they play Denver and the West is you know, don't forget, Kevin Durant's still out there, people. You know, the Clippers are a very dangerous team. SGA in Oklahoma City is dangerous. For me, I think the Celtics will be in the finals. I'm worried about Denver, and I'm worried about the Clippers because they're veterans. And, you know, they've won before. We know that Denver's won before, and the Clippers have some talented veterans. So if you go dry in the finals from the three-point line against one of those two, you better be able to get to the basket. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit. And look, if that's the only thing I'm complaining about, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. We talked with you the day that Bill Belichick was let go, and you said, look, it's Mayo. It's going to be Gerard Mayo. He's great. He'll be terrific. You still on board with all of that?
Yeah, I am. And I think that there is some justified criticism that they should have been more prepared, I think, with the staff in place. You know, it took them a while to get the staff together. And I don't know if that just would have been odd to do with Bill around. I'm not sure. But I know Gerard, and I think the way he's handled everything is excellent. He's made it abundantly clear to the media that he is not Bill Belichick. He's made it abundantly clear that he is going to communicate what he can to the media. He's made it abundantly clear they're not going to cheap out on coaches. that they're going to have an expanded coaching staff. It's not, he's made it clear that while the old way with Brady was successful, there's a new beginning here with the Patriots. And I think that's important because when you talk about today's player is smart, they're independent, they're business savvy. I mean, for the most part. And, you know, you look at a guy like a Patrick Mahomes, you know, to me, who's a great role model for the NFL. The players today are just, they're not necessarily just happy to be there. When they're free agents, you know, they're independent businessmen. They're going to go for the best deal. And in the past, it was always, I'm going to go to New England because it's a place to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not happening anymore. So if Bill's not winning, he's not getting free agents because, A, he doesn't pay people. And he's a pain in the ass to play for. So you got to have a coach. And when I say a player coach, I don't mean someone who's soft. But you got to have somebody like Mayo, who is just a really genuinely nice guy, to deliver that message to get players. I think he's the right guy for the job. And it's going to take a while, Rich. But I think he's definitely the right dude for the job.
A lot of talk about the draft, of course, and the quarterback position. The word today from a couple of sources is that they'll let Mac Jones go. They'll hang on to Zappe and maybe try and bring in a veteran quarterback and then use that draft pick to grab a young guy and let him take a year to sit back and watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Wolf, you know, Wolf running the place, we all know his lineage. He learned a lot, I'm sure, from his father with Green Bay. That's the only thing you can do, Rich, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how. I mean, look, it's all a risk. You're rolling the dice. But how else do you do it? Now, San Francisco, you know, they had a quote-unquote system quarterback. But who won the game in the end?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have a playmaker at quarterback. You've got to have the guy, I think. So they're going to have to try to draft a quarterback until they get one. I think that's the only way to do it. And unfortunately, it's just not going to work every time. You know, where Bill was trying to do it, well, okay, well, Mac Jones, and then maybe Zappe will come in, and I'll bring in this guy. You know, Bill's attitude was always, oh, we can have a top 15 quarterback and win. I don't think that's the case anymore in the NFL.
No, because the game has changed. It's a passing game now.
Totally. It's a video game.
Yeah.
I love it. And, I mean, look at the way the quarterback is protected. I mean, if you're a defender, I mean, you can't. It's hard to play defense in the NFL. It's all stacked to the offense. You know, you got to have a quarterback that can light it up and that can run and be smart. I think they're doing the right thing. I don't know how else you do it. Like, you can't draft, you can't get like an average quarterback and win a Super Bowl anymore. I just don't think you can.
Oh, I agree with you on that. Hey, let's shift gears, talk movies. Oscars coming up in a little over a week. Is it a two-movie race for Best Picture, do you think, between Oppenheimer and maybe The Holdovers?
Have you seen both, I assume?
I've seen Oppenheimer. I've not seen The Holdovers yet.
Okay. For The Holdovers, I liked it, and I'm a huge Payne guy, huge Alexander Payne. You know, Sideways is still one of my favorite movies. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I think Oppenheimer was phenomenal. I mean, just unbelievable what Nolan did. I liked American Fiction better than The Holdovers.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that from a couple of people now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, American Fiction is fantastic. It's phenomenal. What a great script. Shot here in Boston. What a great movie. Mike Malvesti, my buddy. He's in the end where he plays the big security guard in one of the scenarios. He's got the FBI vest on. He goes running in. I loved it. It's so creative. It's so current. So current. And it gives a great message. Sterling K. Brown is hilarious in it. And it's a family story. And it's got a great lesson in it. I liked it better than The Holdovers.
But can anything beat Oppenheimer?
That's the problem. And I just think that the movie is so damn well put together. I mean, it is so tight. And the fact that he hardly used any special effects, right?
Yeah.
The way they shot everything. And I just think, oh, my God, his name just escaped me, who played Oppenheimer.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. I think he was made for that part. You know, he lost some weight, but I think he was, that was like his role. I don't think anybody else could have done it. Downey was outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, he came on like gangbusters in that. I think Murphy was so damn good. So, I mean, you know, our buddy, you know, from Pet Sematary and Chappaquiddick at the end, Jason Clark, you know, giving it to Murphy in the conference room. I was like, you go, kid, you go. Not that you would ever remember who I am, but you go.
Hey, well, I asked him about working with you. He thought you were great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that, but I don't know if you'd remember now, but needless to say, I was happy for him because he's a great dude. Is that, like, I can't think of one thing wrong with Oppenheimer. Can you?
Well, no. It felt a little long. I thought maybe it could have used an editor a little bit more, but it was great.
Yeah, I did. You're in the majority on the length, by the way. You're definitely in the majority. I didn't feel that, but I you know, like I said, most people feel the way you do. So I thought it was great. I just think American Fiction should get more play. I mean, watch it if you can. When you watch it, I want you to call me.
Yeah, a buddy of mine is in it. Matter of fact, my friend Dustin Tucker, did two movies this year, both shot in Boston, American Fiction and The Holdovers.
What did he do in American Fiction?
He's the guy, he's the neighbor of the lead's character. He's the guy who gets yelled at when he's out on the beach.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. What a great part. I heard somebody else talk to somebody else I know, you know, the acting community down there. It's not that big. Everybody was talking, and somebody said that they mentioned his name. I haven't met him. That was a great role for him. That was a great part.
Well, and the only reason he got it was because he was trying to do movies out on the West Coast, and he said, I don't want to travel. I want to just stay here. He lives in southern Maine. I just want to stay in New England. So he started putting his name in for these films that were being shot in Boston, and it was a good year for that.
Oh, it was, yeah, absolutely. You know, and James L. Brooks has got his movie, Ellen McKay. They're filming in Providence. So, but yeah, he's great. He's really funny.
Have you got any film work coming up that we should keep our eyes open for?
I do, yeah. Next week, I'll be on a film set for a week, yeah. You know, you signed a disclosure with James L. Brooks. I did. I met with him twice. I don't know if I told you.
Well, you told me, but last time you told me off air the story of your audition.
Yeah. I mean, they make you sign all these forms now. I'm paranoid, but he's just a big kid.
And you made him laugh, right?
I made him laugh. It was I made him laugh, but I heard, you know, you could hear the auditions. He laughs at a lot of people, but I'll still take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I could tell you this. He's just a guy that thoroughly enjoys his job.
Well, that's fantastic.
When you meet those people who are great, like when you meet those people who are great at what they do, and then you just see them laughing and having fun and enjoying the job, you go, okay, that's good. You know, it's just like, you get it. He's a genius, but he also loves what he does. So.
Well, and likely because you're in it, you're on a streak here, a pretty good role of getting films that get nominated for Golden Globes or Oscars. So I think he saw that possibility and said, I want that guy.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure that was it. Well, I auditioned for American Fiction, too, and I didn't get in that. So obviously they didn't see that. They did fine without.
Well, lucky. They got lucky. That's all. Gary Tanguay joining us on Downtown. Gary, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you visiting with us this afternoon.
Rich, always a pleasure, my friend. I'll watch American Fiction and call.
All right. You got it, Professor. Thanks.
All right. I'll see you.
Gary Tanguay here, kicking things off on Downtown.